League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so three players ejected in the Thunder-Spurs game after they had a scuffle last night. So maybe a suspension. I mean, that'd be cool. I don't care about people being in full strength. Got Oklahoma City tonight. The Rockets need, man, that game Saturday, they started, what was this? It was like, it was 19-3. Man, you talk about, Fred's back, and boy, did they get off to a crap start.
Fred turned his
ankle.
He turned his ankle on the first play. He said he stepped on the ref's foot, and he was never the same on the first play, and that's why he's not playing tonight.
I mean, goodness gracious, though. I mean, so you couldn't start? I mean, really? It was, 19-3 at home to Sacramento. What are you doing? How can you come out that flat? And Fred's back. Fred starts the offense. It's awesome. No.
And they lost a bonus early. He got hurt on the first play as well. He didn't come back. So they were without their best player, and they still got off to a 19-3 start. The Rockets took a lead, 54-51, I think. Dylan Brooks got hot, I think, in the second quarter, something like that. But after that, it was just Sacramento kept batting the Rockets away every time the Rockets tried to get close. It was disappointing.
Yeah, to say the least. To say the least, losing to Sacramento at home in the middle of a – and it's not like every game is, but you want to, you don't want to get into, now all of a sudden you're on the border of playing, and no, you've had a great year.
You won't fall
year.
That far off.
Well,
but you really need to have top four, and you can't do that when this kind of stuff goes on.
I mean, you're the fifth seed. You're going to go to L.A. or no, you know, and games like this, it's so funny. This team, for whatever reason, it gets up for the big, for the good teams, and for mediocre teams that are without their best players, they just lay an egg. This happens way too often with this team.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to happen. I'm watching these ejections in the Oklahoma City San Antonio game. What in the world of fluffy, soft tissue paper is going on here? What happened here that was any kind of a thing? Just Sochan grabbing somebody and pulling them? Like, what? No one. There was no punches thrown. What are we ejecting these guys for? I would make them fight. I would say, all right, you started it. Now you have to fight. So let's get this fight out of the way. Y'all go fight. We don't.
Did you see
what happened?
It started with an elbow to the face.
And then no one cracked anyone in the face. No one threw a punch. No one did anything. It was just a lot of NBA. Harumph, harumph. Like, man, if y'all are going to do something, do something.
You want to go?
I mean, you're getting guys thrown out because what? Because you're all in a circle and one guy pulls another guy's shirt? Come on. What are we doing here? I know Sochan's an a-hole, but still, I don't see enough there. Like, no one got, Calvin Murphy didn't punch anyone in the face four times like back in the day. It was crazy. You could punch somebody and stay in a game back in the day. Yeah. I'm not saying that was the best thing. That's not. You should be ejected. But, like, this is, This is what we call a tussle. This is a dust up. This is a, well, this isn't anything, man. The Rockets, at least the Rockets give you real stuff.
Yeah,
if you tussle with the Rockets, it's real stuff's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Amen will throw you to the ground, right? Like a little rag doll.
Yeah, Amen is not to be played with. He'll give you a personal foul where he grabs you by the chin, and he didn't care how what star level you are. He'll give you a chin strap and just get him out of here. Expel him from the game. Man, he was just trying to hold Giannis' jaw together. That's all. He just didn't want him to get his jaw broken.
That you think that's what
that's
happened?
That's all it was. He was trying to do him a favor.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Amen. Yep. That's the kind of guy he is, though. That's the kind of guy. So did we ever hear anything from that? Is there any?
No. We're just. We got to keep bringing
it's
it
not
up.
Like the
we're
league.
Done. They'll get us a little fine, and we're good. We don't need anything else on this.
Yeah. I mean,
there's going to be something. There would have been something.
Has he even been fined for it yet?
I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure he was. I think there's an automatic fine if you're ejected from a game. I don't know what it is, but it's not my money, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't care.
He ain't paying for me to go to the movie theaters that I pick.
No, you can't. Nobody can pay for that.
No,
not even NBA players can't go there.
Too expensive.
It's too expensive, especially for a young guy on his first contract like Amen. Can't afford that. 713-780-3776 is the number. So yeah, that was just another stinker. Just throw another stinker out there, Rockets. Come on. I don't know. It's so amazing to me. They play so well and so hard, and then they let Sacramento come in here. Sacramento sucks. What are you doing? Sabonis is out 2 minutes into the game, and you throw in a stinker like that. It just seems like everybody though just plays better. I mean, maybe the Rockets got some kind of lesser teams seem to get up for the Rockets and play like shoot like lights out against the Rockets and this is supposed to be a really good defensive team. Not so much a lot, not all the time. For whatever reason, crappy teams with their best players out seem to do pretty well against the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like for my entire life that's true. Like any iteration of the Rockets, if they face a team that doesn't have a star, they're probably going to lose. For my entire life of watching Rockets basketball, from Moses Malone on up, don't let a team have one of their stars out because they're probably going to beat the Rockets. I don't know why that's the case, but it just is the case. Rockets do need to, they do need to tighten it up. And I mean, I don't think they have enough momentum to try to hang on to a four seed. I think right now what you're trying to do is just hang on to five. You got a little room to maneuver, but that can go away quick. So you still want to fight for four, fight as hard as you can for four. You don't want to fall to six. I think five is where you'll probably end up. God forbid you fall to six. If you fall to six, you can fall to seven. Like it's not that it's there's a little gap right now, but you fall back another spot and you got problems because you gotta now all of a sudden you're hanging in there. So you don't want that to happen. But I think they'll be fine. I think the Rockets will be okay. It's just they feel like they're running out of gas a little bit right now. And there's still plenty of basketball to go. They really can't afford to run out of gas right now.
Yeah,
it's hard. Western Conference is hard, man. This is, God, there are so many teams to look for, and it just got harder. Even though Luka can't shoot right now, Luka is just broke.
Who you got? You got Oklahoma City coming out of the West?
Yeah, until they prove otherwise, they don't have any distractions. Everyone knows their role. They have a clear superstar. Like it's kind of like when James Harden was here in his prime. You knew it was James's team, just like his SGA's team. You knew what it is. They know how to get the ball. He's an efficient scorer, just like James was. Like, there's actually a lot of similarities to the best Rockets teams with what. Now they're a little bit younger, you know. Obviously, the Rockets got a little bit older, but there's a lot of similarities with how their offense kind of runs through one player, and that player's a really highly efficient scorer, one of the best, not the best, in the entire league. And everyone knows their roles. There's no confusion about roles, and they play hard. They're well coached. Like, yeah, It's hard to beat Oklahoma City. It doesn't feel like it should be.
No.
They don't look they don't look all that impressive, but it's hard to beat them.
Yeah. No, that's a good basketball team. This is a good measuring stick tonight. They got them at Oklahoma City. The Rockets have laid an egg there. They got slapped one of the games there. They're 1-2 against Oklahoma City this year. This is the final game against them. So you want to it would be nice. Not that the tiebreaker is going to come in any way, shape, or form. No. What with, you know, a 12-game, 13-game lead, whatever it is, over the Rockets. But you would like to know.
It's a confidence thing, that's all.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is. And you know what? And positioning. So it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And playoff positioning right now. Because you just laid a stinker.
Absolutely.
Because you just had a stinker against Sacramento. So hopefully they'll refocus. Hopefully Fred's ankle, he's out again tonight. Okay, all right. I don't know. I tell you this. I know he stepped on the ref or whatever, but it sure all of that when Fred gets back. It was the first time that they've been completely healthy since like the first couple of weeks of the season.
Right.
You know, because Tauri went down right away. So it was the first time that they've been completely healthy
in years.
Since the beginning of the year. And then they're not right away, and they look like crap right away. I mean, they look like crap. 19-3. What are you doing? I turned them off. I was like, yeah, you pissed me off. Okay, yeah, they made me mad. Sorry about that, but I had to. I'm pissed. Play better to start the game, Fred. Fred's back. Great. They look like crap. 713-780-3776. Still ahead. Dell's got Ship Talk coming your way. That's in about 13 minutes from now. Right now, we got to take a quick one. If you want to get in, hurry. Good on Quentin Grimes. 44. The Sixers beat the Warriors, and Quentin Grimes had 44. How about that? Pretty good. Nice job, Quentin Grimes. Cook. That's right, Cook.
Nice.
All right? Not Kentucky or Kansas or wherever he was. Who cares? But Matthew Golden. All right, let's get back to. So Mel Kiper has Membu, as he had himself. He helped himself.
Armand Membu, who I've had as my top offensive lineman the entire time, and he's good. He won't be the first one drafted. I think Will Campbell is going to be the first one drafted. But Armand Membu.
How about Will Campbell running under a 4.5?
Yeah. No, not a 4.5.
I mean, 5.0. Under a 5.
Yeah, he's athletic. He's pretty athletic. He's fast in a straight line, but I think everyone, you know, his short arms, it'll be a question, but everyone loves him. They interview him, and he's real tough. He's only 20 years old. He's about to be 21, so he's real young still. He more than Emory Jones, his teammate, is not getting a lot of love in the team community, but Will Campbell, everyone thinks he's real tough, like he's going to be fine. So he'll go Armand Membu from we'll get drafted, I think, inside the top 12 picks from Missouri. He was really, really good. I've got your Houston Rock. I think the third offensive lineman off the board will probably be Josh Simmons, even though there's some questions on him about work ethic, things like that from people I talk to. But and then it gets interesting. Then we see if Kelvin Banks is next off or Tyler Booker. My guess is Tyler Booker goes next. Now, I think Tyler Booker would be perfect for the Texans. He fits everything D'Amico is looking for. An ass kicker.
He's got a great interview.
He's a good interview. He's a leader in the room. He's like everything you need in an offensive line room. He played at a big school, which Nick Caserio seems to like based on his history. I think the problem is that you're not going to you draft too far back. At 25, Tyler Booker's not going to get to you. So a lot of the offensive linemen you want are not going to get to you. And I was looking through, as I was going through my mock draft, I started realizing, man, this is going to be tough for the Texans. Would you say the Texans are entering a win-now phase, John?
Oh, yeah.
I would, too. Yeah. So what I did with this is I said, you know what? They're in kind of a win-now phase. D'Amico's got to get a certain type. He wants to get a certain type of player. He knows he wants to get his trenches tightened up. So I had him trade up with Arizona again. Arizona's at 16. And initially, I had him taking Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan. And I could see that happen, although Kenneth Grant, to me, on tape, needs to get a lot better. But he's got tremendous, like, he's a great athlete. He's like 6'5", 340 pounds. He's got a lot of potential. It's just not there yet. That could be something he does, trades up for a defensive tackle. Instead, you know, I kind of mess with the mock until I get it to where I want it to look, where I think it could happen. I want to see what you think about this. I had him take Kelvin Banks. I had him trade up and taking Kelvin Banks. And here's – I'll talk – I couldn't really talk about the whole thing in my little blurb, small blurb. This is what I was thinking. You take Kelvin Banks, he can come in and start right away at right guard. You can have Titus Howard if you want at left guard. You can have at right guard. You can move Titus Howard back to right tackle and have Fisher as a swing tackle and move Kelvin Banks into left guard or right guard as a starter. He's a good run blocker. He's a tackle who's playing down at guard, so you know his pass protection is going to be pretty good. And then what you do is once you got him in the room, you work on next year getting rid of Laremy Tunsil via trade. You work on trading Laremy Tunsil or maybe cap casualty, but you'd like to trade him. I'd love to trade him this year, but the only way you do that is if you sign Ronnie Stanley, and I don't know if you're going to sign a guy with that kind of injury history. But you can play guard. You can play him at guard for 1 year and then eventually move him out to left tackle or keep him in at guard and go draft a left tackle later. But I had them move up and take care of offensive line right away. What do you think about that?
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know that there's – but if you sit at 25, it's really dicey.
How are you going to complain with their biggest weakness that they're trying to help? I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, if it's – listen, if it's best player, if they think that they got a solution out there free agent-wise that they can grab somebody to help on the offensive line, okay. If they can free up some money and they can get somebody that they really like, then okay. If they want to get a corner, I'm okay. I'm okay with a defensive lineman. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm okay with a wide receiver there. They got some needs now. And I know they're in win now mode, but they ain't Kansas City. They ain't Buffalo.
Right.
They ain't certainly not the Ravens right now. I mean, they got work to do, and they don't have the money to do it.
Right.
So, you know, they've got a lot of places where they could. They need some help. Omarion Hampton, where does he get drafted?
I think there's an outside chance he could go in the first round, but my guess is one of the top 40, 42 picks. He's big,
a running back.
Fast, tough, strong, built like Adonis running back, who only knows how to run in a straight line, is fat, you know, who basically has no brakes on the car. He doesn't have great vision. He runs so hard, it's like a car crash. Every single carry is like a big car crash. But he is a bully. And like I said, he's really, really fast. So I think he goes in the top 42 picks. There's an outside chance that Jim Harbaugh could add a player like that to try to start, you know, to bolster his bully attack on the ground. That's not completely out of the realm of possibility for him to be a Charger. But it's, you know, I don't know. I think Travion Henderson could sneak into the first back half of the first if teams really want to go for the Jahmyr Gibbs experience, if they want to convince themselves that he's got
what about
the Jahmyr Gibbs stuff. Judkins helped himself a lot. Man, he ran fast. Now, on tape, he's not that fast. He doesn't have nearly as many explosive runs per carry as Travion Henderson, right behind the same offensive line. But he ran fast. He was all of his measurements were explosive. He's big. Physical, like, this is going to be a year where there will be four running backs off the board by the first 45 picks.
Really?
I think, yeah, 45 to 50 picks, because Judkins, you mentioned all of them, Judkins, Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, and Ashton Gentry. Those four guys are going to be the first four guys to go. It's almost like a lock there, the first four.
Okay, Jihad Campbell.
Yeah, Jihad Campbell is from Alabama, not a very physical linebacker. Like, it's not a Nick Saban linebacker where he comes downhill and smacks the blocker and is take on. He doesn't have good instincts. He's not very physical getting downhill to attack blocks. But what he does well is he's really fast. He can run, and he's got great sideline-to-sideline coverage. He's excellent in coverage. He's got good instincts. For some reason, he has no instincts in run and great instincts in pass. He can make plays on the football. He's a very good blitzer, and some people look at him as a potential outside linebacker, a 3-4 outside linebacker. So it wouldn't shock me if he went from linebacker to outside linebacker, or for us to continue to see this trend of hybrid players who play linebacker on first and second down and then rush on third down. So he's a guy that I had sneaking into the first round going to the Rams in my mock. Rams need some help at inside linebacker, and so I could see them potentially looking at him. The guy that's going to really move up is Nick Emanwori, who I gave to the Dolphins. I reached out to Dell and asked if you had any position that you could have, because I was going to go best available at that position. And Dell convinced me to go safety, since there are no safeties on their roster, basically. I could see them also moving back. I could see the Dolphins moving back, because they have some real needs, and they could move back. And if somebody wants to move up, that could be a trade spot. I think the Saints could be a trade spot where they could move out and pick up picks. But Saints are always so desperate. They just trade up. Like, I've never seen a team run so poorly as the Saints. We're still in it. Let's trade all of our picks and go get somebody.
The Saints can't draft anybody. They're $58 million over the cap.
That's what I'm saying. They've traded away all their picks. They've had to go free agency. They're poor. So they're poor. They have no. They trade away all their picks all the time. They don't do a great job of evaluating. Like, they're really run poorly. Really run poorly. How do you, like, if you don't grow your own, you end up going into debt because you got to buy other people's free agents. And then they're telling us, we think Derek Carr's fine. We're going to stick with Derek Carr. That's because you don't have a choice. Now, no. I was tempted to put Shedeur Sanders with New Orleans. That's one of the spots where I could say, okay, if he doesn't go 6 to the Raiders, and I don't think Tom Brady's going to want to mess with all that. And if he didn't go 7 to the Jets, then the Saints would be a spot. The Seahawks would be a potential spot. And then it's like somebody's going to have to trade back into the first if he's not going to slip out of the first.
Yeah. All right, we got a break because Dell's got Ship Talk next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ship Talk coming your way next. Who was talking some ship?
Ooh.
We will do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back. Time to hear who was talking ship this weekend with Dell. He's got, I don't imagine there was a lot of ship talking going on.
Not that much, to be honest. But we're going to start with Kirby Smart. He was at a coach's clinic talking about his defenses and who has had success or not success against them. And then he brought up four quarterbacks, and he took some audience questions, and you're going to hear his response.
What do these guys have in common? Speak up. Heisman? That's a good answer. That's actually true. They're definitely quarterbacks. That's the most elementary thing. Heisman, quarterbacks, champions. He ain't champion. Champion of what? Champion of fireball. All right. I'm gonna go here for you. There's Heisman, right? They all had great days versus our defenses. Okay, they both all four of them went off on us in some way, shape, or form. Okay, but the Heisman.
So the quarterbacks in question were a picture of Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, Cam Newton. And the one he was referencing, Fireball, is Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel. I knew as soon as he said Fireball, it was Johnny.
You did?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of who it was.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Johnny loved some Fireball. Johnny wanted to do, was, I got a story I can't tell any.
Yeah, you can tell it. You're in Hollywood.
No. That's what? I'm coming back. I'll be back
but
in
But you
Houston
can tell
tomorrow,
anything
today.
When you're there.
What?
Yeah.
Can't tell stories out of school. Well, it was a bowl game Johnny wouldn't get back into unless everybody was doing fireballs.
Oh, well.
That must have been the Duke game.
Yeah, I don't think it was a Cotton Bowl.
That was the Duke game.
It must have been the Duke game.
Don't think it was the Oklahoma Cotton Bowl the year before. Let's move on to the Oscars. Now, Conan had a joke that went viral mentioning Kendrick Lamar in halftime.
And, yep.
But the one we're going to go to is one that in a segment that was honoring firefighters. Firefighters who helped try to save homes in L.A. and homes were mentioned, but not for some of the people who lost their homes. Well, at least not by fire.
our hearts go out to all of those who have lost their homes. And I'm talking about the producers of Joker 2.
Damn, best delivery of the night. All right.
Who said that?
One of the firefighters up there. They're honoring them at the time, and Conan had them read some of the jokes, and that was one
they read. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, and they flashed the crowd, and Scarlett Johansson didn't mind laughing. Now, Monica Barbaro, I think that's her name, she was with Timmy in A Complete Unknown. She was like, get that camera off my face. I don't know how to respond. Maybe she knows the producers of Joker, too. So the one that I like the most is something you probably don't know a lot about, John. Do you know who Cam'ron is, the rapper?
No.
You know who Chad Ochocinco is, though. So they both are in the same space where they have podcasts, their shows based off the internet.
Cam'ron and Mace, both of them.
Cam'ron and Mace, yeah. And then, of course, we know Ocho does the show with Shannon Sharp. So they're kind of in the same space, and Cam does not like Ocho. And this is about a minute of, like, a 2.5-minute rant, and it probably has the most beeps I've ever had to put in a clip. And this is only 1 minute of it. Here's Cam on his dislike for Ochocinco.
I don't really f*** with Chad Ochocinco, to be totally honest with you. He alright, but at the end of the day, when we started the show, the n***a was hating from the very beginning. We started the show, we was doing very well, it was very successful. We didn't have no deal, no sponsors or nothing. We was doing this off the muscle. He comes out of nowhere talking about, yeah, I'm going to get myself back together and I'm taking Cam's spot. Why the f*** you got to take my spot, n***a? As you talking about, you've been a football player your whole life. Now, because I'm doing sports, you come and take my spot. And at that particular time, we had only been doing the show about 2.5 months, 3 months. But that's how much of an impact that I had, that bitch ass felt threatened. You know what I'm saying? Then after that, I tried to give him a job. He like, yo, talk to my agent. I said, I'm talking to you now. What the? I don't do business like that. I talk to my agent. See, you so dumb, you can't even speak for yourself, stupid motherfucker.
He does not like him.
He does.
You're just minding your own business, trying to get your hustle up, and Chad's like, I'm going to come take, like, that is kind of, I get it.
What? It's you and Todd McShay all over again.
I know.
Lance.
I'm going to try to go to beef. NFL. You well, who was I? Like was that? I? Which one
you
was
got
I?
Got beef like that?
You're Cam.
Yeah. No, I don't think Todd was coming for my stuff.
No, but Todd would if he had to. You know, that's the vibes you get from him.
Yeah, that, but if he needed to work, that'd be too much work.
Oh, you don't think he works hard?
I mean, writing up 500 players is a different level of stuff. It's not all doing TV and podcasts.
Yeah, he ain't grinding like you.
No.
He ain't putting in that work like you.
He's not.
No. That's all.
You didn't do Vernon Maxwell getting slapped by Akeem Olajuwon?
That's Matt Barnes told that story. Right.
Yeah. Well, Vernon told the story Matt Barnes said, is it true that you got slapped by Akeem Olajuwon? He's like, oh, yeah, he slapped me a little bit or something like that. And then he told the story about that he was complaining and everything. And Dream said, be quiet, or told him to be quiet at halftime or something and stop talking like that or whatever. And then Vernon said, man, F you, Dream. And then Olajuwon, like, came from behind him and slapped him as hard as he could.
Is that the first time that story's been told?
It's been told before.
Okay.
I know I've heard it before.
I feel like I've heard that
story
before.
But he just kind of expounded on it. And by the end, and he's like, man, it hurt. It's like he was scraping his hand on the floor, getting it ready to pow.
Then
they said, well, then what happened? He goes, well, there's a lot of people scrambling then. He goes, I didn't take it well. Vernon kind of just limped into the fact that how we all knew Vernon couldn't just get slapped and like, whoa, what's that about, Dream? Come on, cut it out. None of us thought that was actually the case. Somebody actually asked him because that wasn't the main thing he was talking. He's just talking about Dream slapping him. And they said, well, then what happened? He goes, well, a lot of them started scrambling. Uh-huh. And they said, what happened? He goes, well, you know, and then I don't know if it was him or Steven Jackson said, feels like after something like that, you're going to get the tool. He goes, well, now you know. That's what happened. Vernon went for the gun. So, yeah, which is what I expected the end of that story to be, frankly. So, yeah, that's one where it's all laughing and everyone's joking and laughing. Now, probably was terrifying at the time.
That's speaking of Hakeem. And,
well, I mean, he also threw a weight at Carl, like hit Carl Herrera in the head with a weight.
Oh, you think Vernon's a bit of a prop? Was a bit of
a
problem?
Yeah, Vernon had some. They had to get rid of Vernon. Okay. Brandishing guns and stoplights at people. He was, hitting Carl Herrera in the head.
Breaking news.
Breaking
Vernon
news.
Vernon was a problem.
Vernon Maxwell
he
was
on the verge of shooting the franchise, is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sticking with Hakeem, well, he's his school. Kelvin Sampson cut down those nets over the weekend. They won again and have the outright title. What did they win the Big 12 at this point? But like, it was what they have a 4 or 5 game lead now, so they're coasting to the Big 12 title. So they cut down the nets over the weekend out at Fertitta Center. Congratulations to the Cougs, outright champions again.
Yeah, again, back to back and dominating. One loss at Iowa. Texas Tech
came in
at home.
By a point? Was it an overtime? A point or something like that?
I was at that game. What am I doing?
You're a curse?
Going to the game. I've been to a few games.
Don't go to any tournament games, John. You stay home.
Yeah. Well, I saw Alabama come in there and beat them. I saw a couple years ago. I saw Texas Tech this year. I did see some wins, though. I saw the nice Iowa State win.
Yeah.
I mean, I seen some wins, though. So I ain't no jinx, okay?
Well, proof they lose one conference game and you're at it. Maybe you are a bit of a jinx.
Maybe I was. But I've gone to a few games this year.
I like how Lord, he's defending himself like I'm serious. John, you're not a jinx, all right?
Okay. Well, they win most of their games.
Yeah,
so
yeah. You're going to see a lot of wins.
Loss, okay? Yeah. I was there for
You're going to see a lot of wins for the Cougs because they're just going to win a lot of games. And at this point, we're almost through the regular season into the postseason. Still healthy, right? Everyone's good? No?
Yeah, so far so good.
All right, good. Okay.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. Yeah, so far so good. 713-780-3776.
Okay. There's a question for you from Art. Did the Academy Award fly in Houston sports fans because it was very quiet in there? Taking a shot at Houston sports fans for not making any noise. Is Demi Moore your hall pass? Did you dance during Queen Latifah's song?
I did not.
And who did you wear?
I saw her afterwards, so we said she came up, she was at the party. She goes, "Oh, I love your dress." When everybody loved my wife's dress. It was a yellow and just
what did they say about you?
Anyway, Queen, nothing. Nobody says nothing.
Nothing's looking at the guy.
If I'm standing next to Wendy, guess what I get? Nothing. Nobody says anything.
Ladies first. Ladies first. That's what she was saying to Wendy.
Well, answer the question. What were you wearing, John?
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a tux.
No, but who made the...
What
come on.
Were you wearing? Who were you wearing?
Who were you wearing? Yes.
Who were you wearing?
That's the question.
Men's Warehouse?
He said State and Liberty.
State and Liberty.
I don't know what that is.
It's a store.
Sure, some fancy
stuff. Is that a January 6th Taylor?
January 6th Taylor. It was actually a blue with black trim.
Oh, it was blue?
It was blue, yeah.
Oh, on TV it was black.
It was fancy. It was fancy.
And what was Wendy wearing? Or where,
Wendy
who
was
she
wearing?
Excuse me.
A beautiful, I hadn't seen, she don't usually, I mean, it was good. Her dress was really good.
Did you know
every
that dress
woman,
was?
Every woman, I love your dress, I love your, I'm so sick of it.
Did you know that dress was the one, or did she surprise you? Did you not see it beforehand?
No, you think I know.
I don't know. Maybe you might have asked. I don't know what she's wearing. I don't know.
No,
she didn't ask
me.
Your opinion for anything,
she
did
doesn't
she?
Ask my
no, I'm not saying opinion, but he might have been like, oh.
No,
look.
I'm just curious if she said, how does this look? Does she even.
Not a chance.
She didn't even try it on before.
Yeah, he had no idea.
She didn't even try it on. What do you mean she didn't
well,
try
she
it on?
Well, she tried it on. She had to get it hemmed and stuff, but I didn't see it before.
He didn't see it
you
at all.
Were not involved in any
not
of the process.
Just put on the suit.
No,
just put on the suit and
just
be
put on
ready.
The suit, monkey.
I'll send y'all pics.
She just wants you to just.
They sent us the pictures, but just put on the suit. We don't. I don't need anything
yeah,
from
no,
you.
Yeah, send a picture. I want to
no,
see how Wendy looked.
You
didn't.
The pictures
I noticed that
us,
Wendy buddy. Wasn't included in anything. It was like she didn't exist with you sneaking on the TV.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't sneak.
For those who are just joining us, John was at the Oscars and was actually one of the stars of the red carpet as he was almost escorted away by security at one point.
They weren't sure why he was doing what he was doing there.
Yeah, well,
I'm looking at a picture of you standing right next to Wendy right now. You sent us this picture yesterday.
Wait, he's standing next to Wendy?
Yeah, he sent a picture of him and Wendy on the red carpet. I'm looking
at
it right now.
Well, then I probably meant because I couldn't download that stuff from the airport. So
yeah, you probably
I mean from
see
the
it.
Airplane, so that's probably why.
Yeah. I just
I just no, okay. Yeah, that's a good dress by Wendy.
Yeah.
And then there's you with your bow tie kind of crooked.
So. Yeah. What a hater.
And then there's Wendy just styling and profiling.
And John's bow tie's off center.
Yeah. Well, she liked that, though. That she said, I don't want it to be.
Well, look, no one's looking at him anyway.
Hold up. Yeah. I'm looking at the shoes now. Dell, take a look at them shoes.
I'm looking at them.
Are those velvet shoes?
Those are velvet shoes, yeah.
Oh, don't say it with so much shame. You put them on. Oh, all of a sudden now you're shameful?
Those are velvet shoes.
I had to buy him
tight.
This.
He's got it tight. He's tightened up.
I had to buy him this week. She goes, here, put these here. Get these. And I was like, okay. Oh, she told me a price. And I was like, oh, that's okay. And then I get it. It was 2.5 times that price.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, so what? Buy them anyway. I'm like, oh. Goodness gracious! To wear
buy
once.
Him anyway.
Yeah,
To wear once.
You ain't gonna embarrass her at the Oscars. Put on them shoes.
I need shoes in here.
Well, you got them. Don't worry. You got those shoes.
I got them. I need John Daspit in here.
John Daspit in here. I need personal entry lawyer in here. John Daspit, your guy. If you need help fighting against the insurance company after you've been injured, and they first of all don't. I mean, I wouldn't even talk to an insurance company if you've been injured at work or on the roadway or out in the water or whatever the case may be, the negligence of a business that had something that caused injury. And the first thing that's going to happen is the insurance company is going to get a hold of you right away. Hey, well, yeah, we just really want to make sure you're taken care of. We're really sorry this happened. Here's what we're going to do. Let's get you. We're going to get you a check right away so you can take care of all those hospital bills and all this, okay? So we'll make sure to make this right for you. And they'll be the nicest people. You just can't believe how nice they are. Until you talk to John Daspit and you find out, yeah, they're not accounting for this, 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 and this. They're not accounting for your pain and suffering. They're not treating you fairly. And that's really the case. There are standards in this business, and insurance companies try to fly well below the standards so they save their people money. Well, they save themselves money, not their people, because their people's they're gonna pay the same premiums and they'll raise the rates on them, and then they squeeze and then they want to keep more money for themselves. The insurance companies, this just in, they're trying to keep all of their money and they're trying to deny as much as they can to you. Well, John Daspit's going to fight for you. He didn't care what those insurance companies have to say. He is going to fight for you, passionately pursue justice for the injured. And you will, any time missed from work, you're getting compensated for. Your bills, you're compensated for. Your pain and suffering, properly compensated for. He is going to look out for you. That's the difference with John Daspit. Call today, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or for more information, go to DaspitLaw.com.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, how about the trade, the Deebo Samuel trade? Deebo going to the Commanders for a fifth rounder.
Yeah. That's a great reminder to people that you think that draft is based on what you consider to be the player's on-field value, and it's not what it is. It's always going to be less than you think for most of these guys because it's really based on what their contract is, too, how much you have to pay. Do you have a new contract coming up? There's a sliding scale. Like, I bet you if you ask, well, what do you think Deebo would get? Second? Nope. Fifth.
Yeah.
Fifth. It's not. But now you get a pass rusher, a left tackle, or a quarterback, you got to pay. Like, you have to
and
pay.
And Deebo's an aging guy. Deebo's a pain in the ass.
Breaks down, pain in the ass. Yeah, he is. But for Washington, the value of Deebo Samuel versus a fifth, it's like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
To me, like, I'd take that on. You're advancing quicker than you thought. Now, let's see if Jaden Daniels – you know what? I think Jaden Daniels may have a little bit of second season blues. Maybe not like C.J. Stroud did. And, you know, I talked to Kurt Warner on the field about – because he watches all these guys. And I asked him – I said, what'd you think about C.J. Stroud? And Kurt Warner said – you know, I watched the offensive line stuff. He goes, it wasn't great. He said, but C.J. just wasn't very good this year. Relative to what he is, he saw kind of the same stuff we did. He goes, there are some simple throws. And I said, was footwork an issue? He goes, not really. No. He said, I didn't think his footwork was that bad at all. He said, he had some moments, but nothing like most of these NFL. He said, a lot of these guys have really bad footwork, especially coming out of college. He said, footwork wasn't the issue. He was just missing. And he said, I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that he didn't have the rhythm, and he just didn't have his same accuracy. And he couldn't explain it, but he thought the same thing we did, John, which is, yes, there was, like, he didn't like he thought the Texans' game plan against the Slowick's game plan against Green Bay was bad. Bad. I don't even remember it. But he thought it was really bad. But then he said, you know, watching, there were some issues with the offensive line. He goes, but there's a lot of times he has time to throw, and he just misses throws that he made.
We saw that.
And he's like, it was across the board there were issues for the Texans. So he saw kind of what we saw, which is just CJ just didn't throw well. So I'm interested. And I told him some of the stuff about CJ that you know, kind of maybe was a little too active in the offseason last year. Nothing salacious, but and the Texans wanted to get back. And he was like, he thought that was great to hear. He said, that's really good. He said, if he can, the fact that he recognizes this himself and he shows some self-awareness, he said, that's a really, really good sign because he's smart, he knows football, and the fact that he knows he's got to lock it back in already is a really good sign for the Texans.
Yep. No, yeah.
He's really great. I'm going to tell you something, man. Kurt Warner is so much fun to talk to. He had, and I talked to Greg Cosell for a while, but Kurt Warner was such a good dude. And listening to him, getting insight from him on some of the quarterbacks, because he hadn't really studied them. So his first look is when he gets there. So he's seeing all the physical stuff. Like Jackson Dart really has to push it to throw the ball, you know, to throw drive throws. He's really got to put a lot of effort into it. I don't know if you saw him. He had this sweet necklace on. He's got the curly blonde hair. Like, he's coming for your woman. 100% Jackson Dart's trying to steal your girl. 100%. He's got that vibe. But he and Dylan Gabriel have to really effort to throw the ball. It's a labor to push those, you know, those intermediate throws across the field. But Dart is accurate with it. Like, he can throw it accurately, even though he has to labor some. Once it goes outside the comfort zone, Dylan Gabriel will spray it around a little bit. I thought Quinn Ewers was fine. It didn't. I was hoping that he would, you know, for the kid, I was hoping he would kind of really pop. And he was fine. I mean, it's nothing special. He was fine. The guy that really impressed was Tyler Shuck from Louisville. Man, he came over to Kurt Warner. So he's in the second quarterback group. It was him and Milrow and Kyle McCord, somebody else. There's four quarterbacks throwing. And Matt, and I talked to Matt Corral for a little bit there. He was one of the extra quarterbacks just throwing. While he was there, man, his arm is really not the same anymore. And it wasn't great before, but it's really gone down when he had to throw certain deep balls. But Tyler Shuck comes by. You got to remember, this guy's been in college 7 years.
Yeah,
he's had three major injuries, two collarbones to the same arm. He's had a broken ankle because of a hip drop tackle. So he's been in college 7 years. He came in with Trevor Lawrence into college. He backed up Justin Herbert his first year. This dude is old now. I think he's 24, going to be 25. And he acts like a grown-ass man. He walked by, he goes, hey, Kurt. This is before he ran. He goes, hey, Kurt, you make sure you tell everybody on TV that I'm going to be the fastest quarterback out of my group. And that had Jalen Milroe in it. He goes, you tell him. He goes, now, and Kurt goes, okay, I'll tell him. He goes, now I'm the only one running. So there's that. He goes, I'm also going to jump higher and further than anyone else in the vertical and the broad. He goes, you're the only one jumping? He goes, that's right. I am the only one doing that as well. But then he ran like a 4.61.
And really?
Yeah, the dude ran fast. He threw the ball. He was impressive. I had to move him up. Like, you look at him, and he looks like the only guy. Once you get past Shador Sanders and Cam Ward, the most impressive guy is Cam Ward followed by Tyler Shuck. The most impressive arm talent guys. And Kyle McCord has some of that too. Tyler Shuck could end up being the third quarterback off the board, even ahead of Jackson Dart. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I just think that I think it's going to have two NFL starters out of this draft, Shador and Cam Ward. And I think the rest are probably going to be backups that maybe one or two of them may get a start. The guy that was really disappointing was Will Howard. He just doesn't have an arm. And I felt bad because they were booing him. Every time he stepped up to throw, he got booed because it's the fans came in for that one. They all booed him, and if he threw an incomplete pass, this huge cheer would erupt.
They booed him because they're all Midwest people who hate Ohio State.
That's all it is. And now there were Ohio State fans that would cheer,
yeah,
but it was a bad look that they're all booing. They're booing him because they're mid. Yeah, Dell's right. He spent 1 year at Ohio State. They won a national championship. They're Midwest fans, and they just booed the piss out of him every time he stepped up to make a throw, and they cheered like they had just won a championship every time it was incomplete, which was more than it probably should have been.
Well, and I heard that he was out the night before in the parking lot throwing.
Yeah, he needed extra work, trust me.
Pat McAfee was really hyping him up beforehand, talking about all the things he was doing to
good
get ready.
Big dude. He just doesn't have much of an arm.
Yeah.
Like you expect him to have way, way more arm, and he doesn't. Tyler Shuck was the guy that's really impressive. But he's played 7 years in the league, you know. But you can be a 25-year-old rookie, and no one cares for quarterbacks because they play a long time. I have to write up 25-year-old cornerbacks and safeties, guys that usually have to be Mormon if they're going to be this old because they do Mormon missions. Instead, because of COVID, so many guys have played 6 years, you got a bunch of 24-year-olds coming to the draft. And I talked to a team who said, yeah, they're physically – guess what? You were probably better physically or you know, people who are true athletes, people who work at it, lift and run. He said they're all better at age 24 than they are at 20. You're more physically mature at that age. You fill out. You're a better athlete, so you're not going to get much better.
Did you get your head out of your hiney and put Malachi Starks in the first round?
Nope.
Or no?
Is that a question?
I've still got him right where he should be, second.
Whoa.
Why is his head in his hiney?
I don't know.
Because people told him that after his first mock draft.
Did Georgia fans get to you?
No.
You can't even see because your head is so far up.
I think somebody said that, but that's just because Daniel Jeremiah's got him all gassed up. He ain't going. He ran pretty well, and then he did the short shuttle stuff, and he was like, it was like a defensive end.
Oh, it's not
his numbers were not great. He could go in the first. I didn't put him in my mock though. No, I put him in the second. Nicky Manuori is a Dolphin, and he's going early. Early. This guy is like he and Shamar Stewart are
the Dolphins' pick is in.
The Dolphins' pick is in. Those two are maybe the most impressive guys I've ever seen at the combine. Shamar Stewart and Nick Emanuori. Nick Emanuori is one of the most physically impressive people I've seen in my life.
More than D'Amico? You love D'Amico.
No, he's more impressive than D'Amico. He can jump higher.
You guys can debate that more on the other side. Yeah.
On the other side, when we come back, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.